Hello and welcome to this new episode of our podcast. I'm Gertjo van Halem, your host, and today with me is Benno Horda, CIO of the Rivas Group.
This is the CIO Confessions, a podcast by Deva Team.
Benno, thank you for joining us and glad to have you here.
You're welcome.
First of all, maybe an introduction in how you became the CIO of the Rivas Group and what the Rivas Group does.
Yeah, that's a good question. Hello, everybody. I have been always working on the line between IT and business, and my mission is to make work or services more efficient and more fun by the use of technology. So that's been like the line throughout my career. I've done that by an internet service provider. I've done it at a municipality, and until I started at Rivas, I was the vice president of an IT company that services the four major cities in the Netherlands. And while I was working there, I was approached with the question, "Do you want to work in healthcare?" And I let the question sink in, and I thought, well, it's an area where there's a lot to do, and it's interesting, and it's really helping people get better or get a good quality of life in their final stage. It's a beautiful thing to contribute to.
Yeah.
And the Rivas Zorggroep, you asked, well, it's a company based in Gorinchem. And it's
Gorinchem being in the Netherlands.
Right? Yeah, it's a small town in the Netherlands, like a 30-minute drive from Rotterdam.
Yeah.
We have both a hospital and what's the English term, the nursing homes, like 17 nursing homes, and we do also care at home for people. So we have a broad variety of health services in the bigger region.
Yeah, and so your experience is in a lot of different areas.
Yes.
What makes healthcare? Is it specific? Is it different? What do you see in healthcare? What might be different for IT than in other areas?
Well, one of the things I like about healthcare is that people are really passionate about giving care, and that's also the main focus. And I think a lot of the care has to do about people taking care of people.
Yeah.
And if you're like washing someone, or if you're doing surgery, technology or IT is not really the first thing people think about in healthcare. So it's really just if you have little children, you have to bathe them and do everything, and you're not like, where's my app to put my baby in the bath or something like that. So the focus is not very much on IT. I think a bit more on technology, because there's a lot of technology to help you do surgery, or maybe to lift someone, or all those kind of things.
Yeah. So is IT seen as a burden for them, because they have to do the administration maybe in IT system, or maybe it holds them back to do other stuff?
Yeah, there was a research lately that a high percentage of people in care would rather have no IT at all than what they have currently.
Okay.
Which is for my role a bit it's the big challenge, how to make work fun also with IT and have it really help you in the things you have to do. And I think one of the main things you said, administration, and it's administration for two reasons. Eh? It's for the financial, you have to go to the insurance company to get paid. So you have to do a lot of administration on that part. And of course, there's also the liability, accountability, if you make a mistake. So you have to do a lot of administration to make sure that if there's a lawsuit in 20 years, that everything is documented perfectly. So I think it's more about how we organize society and what we expect, and how much we do or do not trust caregivers to do their best. What is impacting this result?
So it's part of your job then also, let's see how I can minimize the burden that I put on the caregivers for the IT interaction, or not sure how you call it.
I think that's one big part, and in the Netherlands we also have like programs like ontregelde zorg, which is like how can we diminish the administrative burdens in the care. But what you also see is that the government says this and has a program on it, and at the same time develops new laws and new regulations that will increase the administrative burden. So it's like a it's a wish that is not really coming true. And well, maybe this is one of the parts where AI or Gen AI can be a solution. Yeah. But then you also have I have this example lately that if someone in an elderly in a nursing home needs more care, then you get into a new level of care.
Yeah.
And you have to ask the insurance company if that's okay. You say, well, this is the situation, we should move it to the next level. You do an appliance, you have to fill in a form to do that. And then the form will be judged by someone that the insurance company will say, well, that's okay or it's not okay.
Yeah.
But the professional already knows that you need this higher care. So one of the things I thought, well, we should have like a standard text. If it's a case, you just push the button and the text goes to the insurance company then says, well, you didn't really look because it's a standard text. So that's like the world we're living in. And then you could say, well, let's use Gen AI to make the text every time just a little bit different. So it should be a nice solution. But then again, if you're on this track, you're bypassing the real problem, which is we should look at another way at those regulations and administrative burdens.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of the path that we're searching.
Interesting. And you mentioned the Rivas Group does hospitals and also nursing homes. So you do cure and care.
Yeah.
So do you see a difference there in what they need in support from you?
Yeah. If you look at the hospital, then there's much more IT involved. If it's for all the pictures and information of medication and the ECGs and everything that you have to put in the file, so that's the hospital is always out. Can you repair someone? And if you're in an elderly home, it's mainly about how can we give you a dignified last period of your life. So that's a big difference. And sometimes it's difficult if you're in one company, because then the tendency is to say, well, we are one company, so we will do this all in the same way. Well, in this nursing home, you want to just keep it calm, not too much fuss, and keep it very easy. Also, the people who work there are much more practically educated and not so much into the sophisticated IT things. Well, if you're a medical profession, you say, well, give me one screen with every information on it and lots of buttons so I can just do it the way I want to myself.
Yeah.
So there's also a big difference in approaching also the UX and the way you organize the processes.
Interesting. So if you, you've been doing this for, I think, at the Rivas Group 4.5 years. So if you look back at that period, what are the big projects, maybe the projects that you're most proud of or the biggest change that you make? What kind of things do you do?
One of the biggest projects was our electronic health records. The system we used for it needed a big upgrade. Well, that's a lot of work, and it's throughout the company. So that was a very big project, which is really like an update of what you're already using. So that's not the most innovative thing, or the thing that really has an impact on the way people work. I think if you look at the nursing call systems in elderly homes, that you say, well, we're going to introduce technology, for example, in the night if someone is sleeping and goes out of bed in the middle of the night, is it a problem or not? So you have got like these cameras and alarm buttons and all those type of technologies that we've introduced in these homes to enable less people in the night shifts to take care of the people. And with the shortage, we've got the aging problem in Europe, where the population of about 70 is like doubling in the coming years, and the people who are younger, well, it's about the same or less.
Yeah.
So we need a lot of more work to be done in care, and that's, we don't have the people for that. So we really have to look for the solutions. How can you do provide more care with less people?
But that's a bit. You said before, people don't want IT because they want to care for people, and IT is a burden.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you say, okay, we have to introduce a lot of IT to make sure that we can do it with less people. That sounds like a bit of a balance that you have to strike somewhere.
that's right. And that's always the challenge. And for me, it's a lot of the time, if someone asks for technology, it's also the question, why do you... the example earlier about the administrative burden, well, what you really should be doing is kill the reason for the administration and not introduce technologies to solve it. But sometimes there's no other way around it, but it's always the check, is technology helping or not in this situation?
Yeah.
And I think especially if it goes to, it's also if you have in the hospital, if you have a device, an MRI scan or radiology or whatever, and it will automatically connect to the patient records, well, that will help because you don't have to do it manually.
Yeah.
Or if you introduce AI in radiology to determine if there's something wrong and what it is, well, that's also something where there's really an advantage of in technology.
Yeah.
But there are other areas where it's not so much in a solution.
Yeah, and I could also imagine that adoption. So yes, you have to introduce it because you have to do more work with less people, and IT is one of the ways to solve that. But adoption with the people might be a difficult topic.
Yeah. So what I started with, I think a year and a half ago, was really introduce design thinking as our method of making change in the right way and have adoption part of the... Yeah. And there was really like a culture. We do this project. It's about a new process, but in reality, it was about a new application.
Yeah.
And then we had a lot of time went into testing. Is the what are the bugs in the application and is it working? And then we went live and then we had to run to the next IT project. And the people who had to use it were like, well, I can still do my work in the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
So that's a real adoption problem. And also increases the dissatisfaction with IT because you've got this new solution. You don't know how it works. You're not into healthcare because you like IT. You're into healthcare because you like to care for people.
Yeah, yeah.
So and that's why I started to introduce design thinking as a principle and a way of adopting, because what we do is, for example, we start with a design sprint where we
Could you explain for our listeners a little bit that design thinking might not be known for everybody? What do you try to do?
What I try to do is to make sure that in the start of the process, you involve the people who have to make the adoption in designing what you want. So I can explain it with like a design sprint that we do sometimes. We have a problem somewhere in our organization. And then we will ask the people who do that work on a daily basis to come together in a group and in a really structured way, let them think about how am I doing my job, and if I see the possibilities also of technology, but also of the way you can do your work, if you could think about it, how would it be ideally for you? Yeah. Where do you get your energy? How will it be easier for you if you design that with that group? Then you will have something that the colleagues will say, well, I want it too. When can I finally get this improvement instead of, oh no, not something different again?
Yeah. And but that requires a complete different set of skills in your team as well, I guess, I think traditionally, the CEO as the IT guys, they have the tools and they manage the tools. You have all these care people that don't want the tools, and somebody has to bridge that.
So it's not so much business IT alignment anymore as it's really co-creation. For me to introduce this way of working, it's really with the presidents of the departments and the divisions to get them enthusiastic about this way of working. Because the first thing, if we do a design sprint, I say I want five of your caregivers. Yeah. To be a week free of everything and just on this design sprint. Well, okay. That's a big problem because there are not enough people. So it's really an effort and a sacrifice to say, well, I will have this group of people not doing their regular work, but thinking about how we can improve.
Yeah. So, and was that driven by you? So did you start? Because I sometimes see when I talk to CIOs that there's kind of balance there that you have to struggle as well. You're a CIO, you have to do it as cheap as possible, and on the other end they do expect a little bit of innovation, but it can't be too expensive, and so you probably want to drive this, but how do you convince them this is the way to go, this is where we...
Well, one of the problems in healthcare in the Netherlands is that it's a lot of subsidized innovation.
Yeah.
So you can only you get just enough money to maintain your business as usual, but your innovation has to come from like the Integraal Zorg Akkoord, and a big program to transform healthcare in the Netherlands. The opportunity came by to have subsidized project to introduce it the first time.
Uh-huh.
And that was for me the take to say, okay, well, we have got this problem here, let's introduce this method. And if we like it, we can make it bigger. And if we don't, well, then we had one project and we'll stop afterwards. Yeah. And what you saw is it was about if you want to live in a nursing home, you first come on a waiting list.
Yeah.
And then you're on a waiting list, and then nothing happens, and then you get a call like within 5 days you're expected to live in our nursing home.
Within five?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
So that's you can imagine that it provides some stress with the one and was to move and with the relatives.
Yeah.
So we did a redesign with a design sprint of that process where you much more have like different phases of waiting in which you ask someone to prepare. But also to already provide some information that if you start living with us, we already know more about who you are, and you don't have. You can do the administration in advance. You can have the elderly person or their relatives fill out the information already digital, so you don't have to ask everything, and you can prepare them. What do we expect if you come live in one of our nursing homes? And that, for example. The child or the neighbor can still provide some kind of care if you're in a nursing home, which is one of the ways we want to solve the problem of the aging. Other people can help as well in a nursing home. It doesn't only have to be the professional. Yeah. So we redesigned that process, and when we did it, we went live in one of the nursing home, and we got like the other 16 saying, "When can I please join?" And that was for me the trigger that this way really works, and it also so very much helps in adoption.
But that's awesome, because in the whole example that you gave, somewhere there was a digital form, but there's not a lot of IT in this story, right? It's redesigning the process, see where we can improve, and maybe IT can help.
Yeah, and I think for me that's the key, because I'm not I'm a CIO, but I'm not just interested in putting IT everywhere.
No.
I want my mission is to have people do their job as good as possible and provide the right services. And in healthcare, maybe more than in other places, it's about designing and implementing a good process, a good way of working, a good way of delivering the service or the care.
Yeah,
I've had it's a funny example. I've tried to introduce RPA, those little administrative robots, and what we discovered is, and I had a partner company that would help me introduce it, and every time they went in to analyze a process where we thought, well, there could be room for an RPA. Then we did the analysis and we showed it to the people who did the job. And they said, oh, but if I start working like this regularly, then we save a lot of time. So so the process in itself was not really optimized. And you see that in a lot of cases, it helps much more to redesign your way of working than to implement a lot more IT.
Yeah.
And if your process is better and you can standardize a bit about different parts of the organization, then you've also got the skill to do like RPA or AI or all those kind of technologies. So I think we're much more in the process of improving process.
But that also means that as a CIO, you move more into the business and a bit out of the IT.
Yeah.
The IT is just, this is the tool that I have to support you, but let's fix your problem.
Yeah, and I think in healthcare, in the experience of the people working in the healthcare, it should also be like that, because they're not interested so much in IT. And well, for me, it's like my background. But
so, and do you see that as a solution towards that problem that you mentioned before, that they don't want IT, because this makes IT almost invisible? You just talk about their work and, I can support you with this part.
Yeah, and they want the tool. I mean, a surgeon also wants the right knife to perform the operation. Yeah. And so for them, IT is just like tools.
And do you also see that having an effect on your team, that it moves more to a process mind than a real IT support management mindset?
We are making progress in that direction. Yeah. But we still have to maintain this big EHR system. So it's also still a lot of the regular IT maintenance that we have to do. And because also our system cannot go into the cloud, we have our own data center. So I've also got a lot of the regular base IT functions in place.
Yeah. And you mentioned in your story a couple of times AI.
Yeah.
I saw in some research that AI is one of the things that a lot of healthcare providers expect to implement next year and the coming years.
Yeah.
Any plans at the Rivas Group for AI solutions?
Yeah, we're for a longer period we're already involved in a pilot with you've got the Association of General Hospitals in the Netherlands, and they together started a program on care algorithms. And we are one of the pilot hospitals where we're developing this, and it's aimed at, if you're coming to the emergency, what is the chance that you will be admitted and for what period of time?
So predictive
algorithm. So I think one of the key parts where we're piloting right now.
And how does that help? Because if you can predict it or not, there's always a number of people that have to be admitted.
Yeah, but if you look at the situation in the Netherlands, then you see that if the hospital is full, you cannot welcome people at the emergency. Because they have to go, if they need a bed in the hospital, you don't have the room. So then you close your emergency and they have to go to another hospital. And it's really like a chain. You've got the emergency, then you've got the hospital with all the beds, and then maybe after you've got the other parts of the organization, like the nursing homes, or maybe someone has to go from the hospital to a nursing home. Yeah. Well, you have to organize and optimize the capacity, because we are pretty much booked. it's a key to optimize, and then it's really important to predict the chances that someone has to be admitted.
Yeah. And these are applications that I call classical AI, because this is something that predictive AI is way old.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, since, what is it now, 2 years or so, we're all Gen AI will solve all our problems. Will it also solve your problems?
World peace is coming.
Yeah, finally.
Well, I think one of the main issues still with Gen AI, I think, is that you have to be really careful with the patient's health data. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I think in general in the healthcare we are careful with implementing those kinds, even if it's just in our Microsoft Copilot or whatever, because you don't really know if all those healthcare data just stays in our health record system or that it's also used somewhere else. So be careful, and then then you could say, but you could still make something of yourself or have a partner organization develop something with you. But then I say, our hospital is one of the smallest in the Netherlands. Then I'll wait for some of the others to develop. And if they have solved the child diseases in it and it is working properly and it is cost effective, that's the moment that we can step in.
Yeah. And then I think it's also, for the context of our listeners, healthcare data is, I think, kind of the highest level in the GDPR rules, right?
I think
so. You don't want to take any risks with people's healthcare data.
No, that's very sensitive.
Exactly.
IT confessions box. Every IT career has its challenges. In the confessions box, our guests share their lessons learned and resilience gained.
So, and in these years, interesting story on what you see and how that's different than somewhere else. But what is your biggest lesson, you think, that you had?
Good question. Yeah. Also a reflective question. Yeah. Well, I think what I didn't know when I first came to healthcare is that the doctors, they have a different position within the hospital, and they have like their own, they're basically a different company within the company.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. If you want to change, or if you want to implement something, then you really have to involve them as well.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I was not aware of before I came into healthcare. So that's one on the in the area of healthcare. And
And is that hard to do, or are they quite open-minded for IT solutions? It's maybe a little bit different than the real caregivers in nursing homes or doctors.
Yeah. Well, they see IT mainly also as one of the instruments, and it just has to work. No fuss. It needs to work, and it needs to work the way I want it to.
Yeah, of course.
and they're highly educated and have pretty often their own way of working. Have the conversation also with the doctors about how can we standardize on some parts to improve the benefits of the technology. Well, that's a pretty difficult conversation, and that's why I think we in the Netherlands and all around the world, you have like the chief medical information officer, which is like a practicing doctor that will for 1 or 2 days in the week also be the bridge with those doctors and IT.
So that's your really counterpart in the for the doctors.
Yeah, yeah. So we work our counterpart. We work together in making technology work.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine that the doctors themselves are quite influential as well in a hospital, of course.
They kind of run it. Well, without them, there wouldn't be much operating And the other thing I really learned, especially in healthcare, it's really people taking care of people.
Yeah.
And that's what really matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes your own role. It's relative to all these big IT projects and ideas.
Yeah. Okay,
but we're here to help people, and we are people to help people. That's what we do.
And you can also start the whole. I think don't think it's for this podcast, but you can also start the whole philosophical questions about if you're old and alone, and you've got like a robot kitten or a robot person keeping you company, is that the way you want to live as a human being? So all those kind of questions are somewhere further down the road, I think.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things you think about how will you organize technology and the possibilities. Is every possibility good to use? Or well, those questions also lie somewhere on the horizon.
And it's also what you said about IT in healthcare. Probably these robots taking care of people is kind of an idea that we as IT people think might work, but
I'm
not sure if the healthcare industry is there as well.
No, and it's also for the listeners of this podcast. Imagine your father or mother on that age, and what would you want? And sometimes it's really if you got like a robot cat.
Yeah.
People can really get a satisfaction and a feel of companionship out of it. But is it really how we as humans want to live our lives?
Yeah.
And so that's also cares about from people to people. But if you look at the other way, is that you can do a lot of it yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the major developments in the coming years will be really about finding your own health information with Gen AI. There's a big room there. Or the monitoring with your smartwatch and all kinds of sensors that you have. So I think what we will see in the coming years is that a lot of healthcare will be self-provided. So you can organize it yourself. Yeah. And I think probably the big tech will be there.
But there's also, again, a human question because you and me will keep up with that, but not everybody, because it requires a level of understanding of technology to be able to do it yourself.
Well, almost everybody can use Facebook.
Oh, I don't.
No? You don't want to, or you can't?
I don't want to, for sure. And maybe with the younger people getting older, they all know how it works, of course.
Sometimes, but it can okay. also, there are also, that's one of the things we also discover, because at Rivas we also look at, do the people have the digital skills to do the work? Yeah. And there you see that, I think in all age groups, there are groups who are not familiar with using technology.
Excuse me.
I think that the biggest difference is if you're like 20, you'll learn much quicker how to use it than if you're like 64.
So just, we've been talking for half an hour, so we have to come to an end someday.
That's too bad.
Yeah, but I think interesting question for our listeners maybe is, you've done this for 4.5 years with Rivas now, but you have a longer experience in the past. What would be tips or tops for people that listen and say, hey, I want to learn as a CIO, I want to make my next step. What do you think is for the role of a CIO an important thing to invest in?
For me, it's always you have to know the business, cooperate with them, just not just align once or twice a year, but really get involved in what is the service or the process or whatever that's being done at your company.
Yeah.
And I also like to just go work a shift with someone in healthcare just to see what it's like. To be able to understand what it's about, and I think that would be for me the key. Just getting involved in the business itself to understand what it is you're supporting and helping with technology and IT.
Very important lesson indeed. Well, so we went from IT to philosophy about humans and robots. Now we work together in the future.
Yeah.
So it's a broad overview.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Very interesting to hear how it works in healthcare. I think it's a bit different than in other industries that I visit.
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah. So very interesting overview. Thank you so much for joining us. And hope you enjoyed it as well when you listen to this. And see you in the next one or hear the next one.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Discover other podcasts on devateam.com/podcast. Devateam, AI-driven tech consulting.